Emergency, emergency. Nah, just kidding. I'm just doing an ad hoc live. Surprising, isn't that? I'll just keep waffling on until the lag kicks in and everybody will arrive, hopefully. But if not, doesn't matter, because I'm just doing like a quick... And reason being is I want to give it a bit of a push in regarding the old audio files and that kind of thing. Speaking of files, I've got my non-sat on. $3.99 the Intermarché, been rocking around like the man from motherfucking Del Monte. I'll have it off though, actually. Also as well, I'm absolutely knackered. Don't know about you, but late night sleep gang was an absolute bind last night. 29 degrees at 1 a.m. Knee chance, not a chance, wasn't going to happen. So I'm 4 hours sleep deep, so it's Waffle City. Basically, what this is, the regular AMA, which has asked me anything. I noticed that I hadn't done one for about a month. So if you want to get your questions in the live chat, feel free. I'll try and do a few of them like on the fly. I've got some already lined up from a post I put out on Facebook page earlier, so I'll be doing my best to address them. Not research them or anything. I think these are best when they're done off the top of the dome, homeboy. So, bit of housekeeping as usual. If you would like to go to, that's the patreon.com/cowdaily and support what we're doing, that would be sweet as. Also, please do sign up to the Milk the Cow mailing list. Links in description on all platforms, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook as well. If you've got the pinned post on the Facebook page, you'll find it there as well, I would imagine. Also, you can follow us on Instagram and other spots, all off those links. So, as they say in young person's YouTube, let's get into it. First question, more of a statement, really. Tamisa Joyce Lightowler, some disability benefits are apparently going to be stopped, PIP especially. Ask about that because a few people are now under review, including myself. It's been fought against. We're fighting back. That money, it's not because we're lazy. It's because we need support and equipment if we're disabled. Fully agree with you. The fact, just on PIP and all that, the fact that you made jump through all of those bloody hoops and it's set up for you to fail, as far as I can see, is a disgrace. So I think it's something like 75 to 80% of all appeals in regarding PIP is they're successful. So I think this is part of the whole sort of privatization agenda as well. It's the people who are doing these assessments, it's target driven, as I understand. And that is no way to treat people who need that support in society. If it was up to me, as you know, everybody, nobody left behind, would get universal basic income. Everything they need a little bit more, and I'd scrap all of these things. To me, I'm not really sure what you're asking us in terms of that, or who you want to ask us, but just know that you and everybody else has our support, particularly in these times, and I hope you're doing all right, mate. So next thing, let's go along to it. Zoe Jarrett, with the fires and heat finally hitting UK, will people's attitude to Just Stop Oil, Extinction Rebellion, etc. change? I've thought about this, and I think what might happen is, right, the climate crisis will just keep going. The denialism will be amplified by like Gammon News and just general other stuff. There'll be sort of like mealy mouth bullshit from like generally boomer, and no disrespect to all boomers, as you can see, I'm doing an in defense of boomers thing in the future. Generally boomer men, and I think there's something about like they just think they're going to die anyway, and the nihilism or something. I'm not that old, so I wouldn't know. It's a theory. So people's attitudes, I think disproportionately those people are thrust in front of cameras and asked to give their opinions, and when they do, they're not given the same treatment as representatives of Just Stop Oil, Extinction Rebellion, etc. And you've seen it recently with Ed Balls. Like what he's doing presenting Good Morning Britain, I've no idea, given how much of a bell that bloke is. Should be called Ed Bells. But he was he called one of the lads from Just Stop Oil a terrorist, and fortunately he pushed back against that, and that was fine and great and wonderful. But I do not think people's attitudes are going to change at the rate of change that is required. I would suggest that like the climate crisis is just going to keep ramping up and ramping up, and we're going to get to a point where people are going to watch these things through their phones, through other people's phones, and who've recorded their houses burning down, you know, like in Dartford and whatever yesterday, until it keeps going on and going on, and it's content driven, and then all of a sudden they're recording their own house being burnt down. The level of delusion and denialism in society, I feel, is psychologically linked to the rebound effect from the pandemic, which is still ongoing, by the way, but more specifically lockdowns and the sense of entitlement, justified or otherwise, that people have when they are in the mentality they're in now. They just do not want to hear about this next crisis. And you see people try and dismantle the arguments. The science is set. That's a fact. I mean, we're coming literally in the next hour where we are. It's going to be a thunderstorm. And this is like after three and a half weeks of just absolute horrible heat. I mean, as I said, I had 4 hours sleep last night, so it's just impossible to sleep in it. I'm sure many of you, wherever you were across Europe, felt just the same. So will the attitudes change is the question. Yes, but slowly, and when it'll affect them or affect somebody close to them that they love and that can actually feel the pain of the loss. I mean, there was about 20 houses burnt down from what I could see on this video I saw yesterday. And that's heartbreaking, man. That's people's homes and where they're going to go. What exactly are they going to do? And given the sackless nature of the government and certainly the opposition too, what help are they going to get? I don't know, but probably not to the level that is required. And maybe they're going to be chucked in some daft B&B and nothing's going to be done. In a civilized society, there'd be like kit houses going up and there'd be a plan for that, and there'd be land set aside and brownfield sites for just that, just to get people through until the houses are rebuilt. But hey, you know, that's not going to happen in fascist island, is it? People are just thrown to the winds and it's like, oh, well, bad luck. So, yeah, it doesn't look good. Like, and I think we all know that. And I think it's best to be honest and open about these things. And I think the things that can change that is people pulling their heads out of their arse now, or yesterday, in fact, and getting behind Just Stop Oil and Extinction Rebellion. Look, you might not like the way that they protest, but you definitely wouldn't like your house to be burnt down or driving along the motorway like people were, and it's on fire. Those pictures were not from Spain, Portugal, France, anything else. They were in England. And I think it speaks to the little Englander mentality where people are just like sort of going, it's a bit of weather. I mean, some of these will be literally might as well have that on their tombstones. But anyway, moving on. Daniel Vlatson, would you rather die in a climate disaster or nuclear fallout? I've given this zero thought until now, so I'm going to freestyle this one. In some respects, if you're going to die, you want it over quickly. So nuclear fallout, you would hope, would happen. But if you somehow get dragged into some kind of like underground nuclear bunker, you're going to have enough food to live for a couple of years. And when you eventually come to the surface, what would it be like? Will there be mutants? Will it be like the zombie apocalypse? But what kind of zombies would be left? Would they look like your nana? But would it be those zombies who have the superpowers out of, I can't remember the film, but they're the ones that can run really fast because they're the scary ones. Or would you have the like slow walk and hoard zombies? There's a lot of questions I've got for you, Daniel, and how dare you not provide those answers? But so that's the kind of like maison seed from the nuclear fallout. Climate disaster is happening now. So it's a case of, I suppose what you're asking is, do you want to continue to live now or would you want to be nuked in some kind of like Putin bullshit between America, Russia, obviously China, all of that? I mean, that's a delectable feast that you're serving up for there, mate. I'd want to be, what I'd want to be regardless of those outcomes is somewhere in the countryside. And get like that would give you half a fighting chance, you know, living off the land, that kind of thing. I'd want to try and survive as much as I possibly can. And if it does collapse, I'd rather try and rebuild society and continue humanity and whatever. I'm too beautiful to die, Daniel. I'm too beautiful to die. I hope that answers your question. And also big up Sage Francis. This is a post that I put up earlier, and I just wanted to kind of expand on it, really. For 2 seconds, I'm just going to have a drink of my tea. Dead air's bad. Right, I'm back. That was a little bit too hot for a swig. Ah, it hurts. So the post reads, Rishi Sunak has done an interview in which he expresses that he thinks Darlington is in Scotland. The whole mob are absolutely thick as mince and give off the veneer of intelligence because of their accent. Plenty of people who grew up on our estate would absolutely body bag him and the rest of them in a debate. True story. It wouldn't even be close, but people wouldn't take them as seriously because of the classism which exists in British society. That's why these idiots keep failing upwards. Where I'm coming from with that, and I have given this some thought, like from the whole class-based perspective, right? Rishi Sunak is legitimately thick as fuck. I mean, obviously not in the traditional sense. I mean, academically, he's clearly done well and whatever. But in terms of emotional intelligence, in terms of understanding the wants and needs of the people in society, in the part of society that I'm from and many of you out there listening to this, he has not got a Scooby-Doo what we're going through. And I honestly don't think he's got the will or the want to actually understand, because why would he? I mean, he's like, it's all consensus reality. Is like, you could describe it in this video that resurfaced last week where he was about 18 or 19 on this program about middle class people on some TV program. It might even be called The Middle Class. And he's sitting there going, yeah, I know, like, gentry, I know upper class people, I know working class people. I remember he's not working class people. His dad's sitting there, like, doing that whole laugh behind the hand snake shit. And I just think that that's kind of who he is. That's before he's kind of had his whole image and that polished up. Essentially, he's that kid. He doesn't know and he doesn't care. And he's the richest MP in the country too. So why would he? But also as well, why does a billionaire want to be the chancellor who's on something like 56 grand a year? Ask yourself these questions, right? When people are wondering why the NHS and other things are going absolutely tits up. Why do the ruling class, the establishment, want these placemen in to get things done? I think I've probably just answered my own question there. And it's, I remember before the 2019 election, they stuck him up for one of the debates because Johnson was off having a wank in a fridge or whatever the fuck he was doing. And I said at the time, like, right, watch out for this one, like, because they don't just throw somebody into the mix for no reason. It's not clear whether he's going to like become prime minister. I think it's between him and Truss now, and I think the way the numbers break down, it might end up being Truss, which will be hilarious, by the way. We might as well go to hell in a hand cart with Roundhay School alumni leads. Yeah, fuck Roundhay School. So yeah, like in terms of this whole classism side of things, I know people who are intelligent as hell and they speak like us, talk like us, and they won't be given the time of day. I mean, there's a study I remember from a few years ago, and it was about like airline pilots, and people were polled and they were asked and what accents, and they were played a range of accents, would they trust most to fly the plane. Obviously a place of you know, reduce safety and your life's in somebody else's hands, so, you know, important. And the RP, received pronunciation, which is, you know, Rishi Sunak's accent, was the one that came out on top. Working class accents were much further down that list, and I think that speaks to the ingrained internalized classism in British society. So until we can like unpick those things, we're never going to get something that adequately reflects, in my opinion at least, wider society. But there's also, from the working classes, and an increasing number from what I can tell, a serf mentality, baldric brained, and they lack self-respect. And I feel that this is something that we can control and we can do something about. We can't change really how Rishi Sunak thinks, but we can change how each other as working class people think about ourselves. And we can understand that, like, for example, Geordie accent, it's like seen as like trustworthy, safe, like Ant and Dec, all this carry on. But at the same time, some of the people, the most intelligent people I've ever met, speak broader Geordie than I do. Absolutely, like, just I just unbelievable, like laser focus on what's going on in the world, and I've got mad respect for those people. But they will hit a glass ceiling at some point. I mean, you look at the sort of racism and classism that's come out in the Ford report, which, you know, we'll talk about maybe a little bit more in a bit. I'm going to do like maybe 20, 30 minutes today. I'll just put this up on this nice one. So, and just to top off this classism thing, I do feel that we need to do the work. We can't expect other people to try and understand us and our wants and needs. So, yeah, I believe it was Jessica on the stream last night said we need a self-respect revolution. Absolutely, we do. We need to start respecting ourselves and stop voting in dickheads from any of the establishment parties, which is pretty much all of them, really. Right, so one of the things that on last night's stream that I didn't get to was Jeremy Corbyn's statement relating to the Ford report. And I wanted to do it a bit of justice because ultimately he was out there standing for us. So I just want to read that out and just maybe just sort of bounce this around a little bit. So what Jeremy says is the Ford report casts an important light on events in the Labour Party in recent years. My election as leader in 2015 was a major shock in British politics. It wasn't about me, but a popular demand for anti-austerity politics following the 2008 financial crisis and 35 years of market fundamentalism. Despite overwhelming support from members and affiliates, powerful groups in the party found that change hard to come to terms with. This led to a conflict in Labour that created a toxic environment, which the Ford report lays bare. In any party, there are groups and factions, but the resistance we were faced with went far beyond that. It goes on. It included the secret diversion of campaign funds by senior HQ staff in the 2017 election. If you want more detail on that, go to last night's live stream, which is up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all the different places you get your things. We'll detail a little bit more about that on there. So in the 2017 election, which Ford rightly condemns as unequivocally wrong, whether or not that prevented the election of a Labour government, it was dishonest. In a democratic party, those decisions should be taken by the elected leadership. Too often, the will of the membership was overridden by people who thought they shouldn't have had a say in the first place. Whatever arguments there are about specific findings, the report should help us see a path forward. The politics of the many, not the few, are more needed in this country than ever. We suffer a cost of living scandal while billionaire wealth soars and climate breakdown accelerates, while fossil fuel companies boast record profits. For the Labour Party to be the vehicle for a better and sustainable world, things need to change. It continues, the appalling behaviour that Ford calls out, including the repulsive racism and sexism towards Diane Abbott and others, should have no place in a progressive party. Toxic factionalism is far from over, nor are persistent problems of racism and sexism. An action must be taken, as Ford makes clear. Most of all, the party needs to decide what it is for and who decides that. Are we a democratic socialist party run by members and affiliated unions that aims for a fundamental transfer of wealth and power from the few to the many, or are we something else? More considered and measured than most of us could be, I feel, particularly given what Jeremy's went through for years now. And I'll just say this. Nobody will ever convince me that a lifelong anti-racist is in any way prejudiced towards anybody at all. And I've said this all along. So in terms of what Jeremy's saying, I mean, there's a thread there, like talking about the classism within the Labour Party, which like is laid bare in the Ford report. These sneering public school wankers forming their little circles and basically, I think, pre-programmed to look down on people who in their minds shouldn't be in politics. Like there's so much like coming out about them being you know, it's like a close shop to them. And Jeremy mentions it in that, and people who shouldn't be involved or have a voice. And again, it's incumbent on us to have that voice, to develop our own things, our own platforms, our own parties, our own opportunities because there's nobody coming to save us. So what I'm going to suggest is, like, what we take forward from this is we sack the Labour Party off. It's one of the two wings of the establishment shitbird. And to think any otherwise, like, honestly, I could have sat here today and put forward so much evidence. And if you want to see lots and lots of evidence, go to the Facebook page. I've written thousands of words this week about what's going on with the NHS, what's going on with the wider Labour Party. And it's done. It is Romeo done. Done. There's, why do you want to put your energy into trying to, like, overturn this, that, and the third when you've got, like, the NEC that's been a lot of them being launched in, and they've completely changed the rules to make it, like, much harder for any kind of progressive person to get involved and actually progress within it. Glass ceilings more and more have been established since what happened with Jeremy, because they're not going to let it happen again. Fact, not going to happen. If we're going to do anything, we're going to have to do it in our own way, in our own terms, and understand that it's going to be attacked. But that's not the point. It's not about the destination either. It's about getting it done. At the end of the day, if any of us were going to stop, we would have stopped after the disappointment and the attacks after 2019. But we're all still here, aren't we? We're all still caring. We're all still trying to make a difference. We've got our eyes and our ears open. So I think it's time to just sort of transfer that energy into something new and being reinvigorated and build hope first. Yeah, like, all of the detail can come later. Let's just build hope. Keep hope alive, I believe a great man once said. A couple of comments, let's see. Very cool, because we've just done an on-the-fly one. Joanne saying, missed the start, but we'll go back. Don't worry about it, mate. It's going straight out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts straight after this. So I'm just going to do a bit more with the audio stuff. Like, one of the reasons that, like, I haven't done is just, I know what happens when we get to the top of the charts and that kind of thing, because it's not our first rodeo air. And we've had a little bit of that with an experiment a few months ago. And like, mentally, I just wasn't ready for everything that comes as a result of this. I just wasn't ready at all. But now I am. Now I'm really genuinely feeling like I can commit to this daily thing that we've set out to do. Hence why it's called Cow Daily. It was always intended when we got that, like, URL and that name, like, set on YouTube a while ago. Never did anything with the account until such a time as I was ready to do something with the account. And that time's now. However, this comes with an asterisk and a caveat. I'm going to have, like, still on the road at the minute. I'm in Germany. I'm going to be in Holland soon. I'm going to be in England, back to England. And then, obviously, the internet's a bit sporadic at the minute, but we're going to go back to our house in September. So think of that as the start of the new term. However, in the interim period, I'm going to get as much daily as possible, or as close to daily as possible, content out as I can. Internet dependent, and also reserving the right to balance that with checking in with myself as I go along and just seeing how much I can actually do, because I was ill for so long. I really just don't know. I've got my health back now, and that's the most important thing, because without that, nothing else works. So that's kind of the plans. So go to the links in the description of this, and go to Apple Podcasts. That would be nice, because I really would like to. We're in a new tougher category, and we've got number three, with, like, you know, just a few episodes out. I put one out last night, and that charted as well. So I think, rather than pissing about going, oh well, I'll cut that up and da-da, I'm just going to put out, like, the full things and just keep going, because things are so fast paced and things are moving so quickly now that you kind of, like, blink and you'll miss it. So I feel, even if we're doing these little short bursters, like every working day, something like that, and when, like, major things are ongoing, I think that'll be a good thing. So let us get some more comments. Zoe Jarrett is saying, bloody Facebook didn't tell me we were live. Right, we'll try and figure that out. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's shenanigans. Maybe it's the Illuminati. Who knows? Maybe I'll reach over here and put my man from Del Monte Nonce hat on. $3.99 at Intermarché that you missed right at the start of the show. I don't talk like this. But I've been rocking around dressed like the man from Del Monte in this heat wave. linen shirts and a $3.99 straw hat. Sue me. So what we got next? Michael, hey, nice to see you here, Michael. Like, I don't know if 7 o'clock is a bit late for you at night, mate, but it's nice to see you for the afternoon one. Michael saying it's well overdue. We now sack the Labour Party off. I also believe it is time we develop our own class structure in Britain. Johnson has degenerated this country, making our political class at the bottom of the class structure. Reading that, Michael, it reminds us of a quote by Buckminster Fuller, and I always butcher quotes, so this is always a paraphrase, but it's something around why use your energies to fight a decaying system when, like, real solutions come from out with the system, and we'll design our own systems. And that's where we are at. We need to design our own systems. You know, there's currencies there if we want to use them, like Bitcoin and whatever. We can do these things. These things can be organized and arranged outside of where, obviously, wherever possible, outside of the system that's going on. The system is broken and the system is dying. And that is an absolute fact. Capitalism has failed and has been getting propped up since at least 2008 with all this quantitative easing shit. And we just need to, like, the wounds should have been licked by now. Let's have it right. It's 2022 now. The election was 3 years ago. Understand we had the COVID lockdowns. Never ever get it twisted that the pandemic isn't still happening. Stay safe out there, my people. But it's on us. So let's do that. Take a few more comments before I pop off. We have Nick Stoker. I'm still livid about the Ford report. Good to see you. Good to see you too, Nick. Nice to see you pop up on here. I take it 26 minutes in. Everybody's getting their notifications on Facebook. That's cool, man. It's good to know. It's good to know, like, what it's doing. And these are part of the reasons why I'm doing these, like, little ticklers now. As I said, just to close this off, get yourselves along to Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Please leave a good 5-star review because we're going to really try and push the chart. Now, as I take off the man from Nonce Monty hat, what I have is a baldy napper, as we call it in Gateshead. Number one in the government chart on Apple Podcasts, right, is Nick Robinson, the former president of one of the Oxbridge University Tory societies, political editor at the BBC. This is what we'll have to do. Seriously, it'll be hilarious. Battle of the Baldies. I believe he hates being called bald. I don't give a shit, but I might go to Torquay for a hair implant just for the crack. I've told you, I want that Vikings haircut. It'll be lush. Imagine's on here with that nice linen shirt looking like a dafty mint. Anyway, before that, what we need to do, which would be class, is rally round and try and get the, when we push these out in September, or maybe even before, get it to number one, Battle of the Baldies, and then we'll just fucking terrorize the fucker online, tweeting at him, you lost the Battle of the Baldies. You might not even know he's in it, but we can let him know. So just bear that one in mind, and we'll just take it from there. Anyway, it's been nice. A bit of a shame you didn't get your notifications and everybody's piling in now, but we're back on the road tomorrow and we've got a thunderstorm coming here, which is going to break the heat wave. And I honestly feel like it's going to be like Blue Pearl dancing naked in the rain video. Shouts to the old school commercial rave massive. Bye-bye, everybody. See you later. All the very best. Hopefully this will be the first of many one of these. Little tester. We've learned some things about the tech belter. All the very best. See you.